say tonight, God has been good. Amen.
Amen.
And he can't help but to be good. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that tonight. Amen. Are you glad to be in church? Amen.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here tonight. Amen. After all of that, I just kind of just feel like, amen, just, I told him I didn't have much anyway, just 3 points, no poem. Amen. The book of Nahum in your Bibles tonight. Nahum, yeah, that's a book in the Bible, believe me. The book of Nahum. How many of you did feel the earthquake today? Amen. Reminded me of the story I read about a six-year-old girl. Earthquake came. They was grabbing everybody and putting them in the house, and they got to looking for the little girl. She was standing out in the yard. And they ran out and grabbed her and they brought her in. They asked later, they said, weren't you afraid? And she smiled and said, no, I'm just glad I know a God that can shake the world.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. The book of Nahum, that's the clean part of your Bible. Amen. I want you to turn with me there. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
I normally have people stand when I read the scripture, but I'm going to bootleg a little bit until I get to the verse that I'm going to read. I'm only going to do one verse. I tell my church a lot of times, I just got 3 little points on 1 little verse, and it scares them to death. Amen. But I believe tonight that we serve a living God. Amen.
Amen.
And it's good to see some old friends here tonight. Amen. I appreciate them being here in the service tonight, and how our minds go back. Amen. And how Brother Guy and Miss Peggy put up with me for almost 10 years. I don't know how. Amen. When I went there, Brother Jeff, I didn't not only know nothing, I didn't even suspect anything. Amen. And I'm glad they're here tonight. Amen. Good to see Brother James. He done switched places on me, Brother James. Amen. Nahum chapter number 1 in your Bibles. Before I read the verse that I want to bring to you tonight, I want to talk just a moment and give you a little bit of background about the book of Nahum tonight. As you look at the book of Nahum, you know that Nahum was a prophet of God. As you look at this passage of Scripture, you'll know that Nahum's prophecy came some 150 years after that of Jonah. The Bible said in verse 1, for instance, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. Now, as you look at this, he mentions Nineveh. And the reason for that is because this is a prophecy of judgment against Nineveh. Now, we learned in the Bible about Jonah, and how that Jonah was told by God to go down to Nineveh. And we know that Jonah, amen, took a boat ride, amen, and a fish ride. And the reason was because he didn't want to go down to Nineveh. For years, as I studied the Bible and read the Bible, I thought that he would not go down to Nineveh because he was afraid of the Ninevite people. They were wicked. They were ungodly. They hated God. And they were wicked sinners. And I thought as a young preacher that the reason that he would not go down was because he was afraid for his own life. But as I begin to read the Bible more and as I begin to study, Jonah himself gives the reason as to why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He knew they were a wicked people, but he knew that God was a gracious God. And Jonah said, if I go down and I preach repentance to that people, he said, God, you're a gracious God. You will forgive them if they'll repent. Amen. You see, Jonah had to swallow a lot of things, amen, in his life. Pride and prejudice was two of those things that Jonah had to swallow. Amen. And we know the story. The Bible says that Jonah was puked up, amen, on the seashore. I don't believe seafood restaurant was the first place he was looking for when he came out. And he was headed to Nineveh, and he went to Nineveh, and he began to go into Nineveh and begin to preach the word of God. And can I say that God did exactly what Jonah was afraid he was going to do? They repented and God forgave them. But some 150 years later, God says to Nahum, his prophet, he said, I want you to go down. I want you to carry the burden of Nineveh. And I want you to prophesy unto them my judgment. As I begin to look at that, in fact, if you'll study the Bible, you'll find that judgment did not come for another 100 years after the prophecy of Nahum. But judgment did come. Can I stop and say this for a moment tonight? America has never seen the judgment and the wrath of God upon sin. Amen. But I'm afraid that America is about to. I do not believe God is through tonight. Amen. I do not believe. I believe with all. Yes, God is a gracious God. And yes, God is a merciful God. But I got news for you tonight. God is a just God. And God is a God of anger against sin. And God is a God of, my friend, wrath. Amen. And America and the world has yet to see the wrath of God. Amen. I believe we're going to see that one day.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that. But as we look at this, and I begin to study this, and I begin to read these verses, Nahum is telling Nineveh what God is going to do. He is saying things such as, the enemies of God will not be able to stand. And who can stand in the presence of a just and a mighty God? Amen. Well, I believe with all of my heart that my friend, in verse number 1 down through verse number 6, we see the judgment of God. Listen to this. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers, Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. You know what our problem in America tonight is? I'll just break it down where we're at tonight. You know what our problem in our churches tonight is? That God's people have lost their fear of God. Amen. I'm not talking about just a holy reverence, but I'm talking about a fear of God. Amen. I've been studying in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to preach it at the church when God lets me on that subject of fear. We have so watered it down, amen, Brother Johnson, in our day. Amen, the fear of God is nothing more than just reverencing Him. Can I tell you, when my daddy was a man, there was no generation gap at our house. He kept it closed with a 42 black belt. Amen. Some people say it was Daddy's way or the highway, not at the cookhouse. It was Daddy's way because there was no way. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, my daddy didn't tell me 15 times to sit down and be quiet. My daddy didn't tell me 5 times, boy, if you don't quit, I'm going to whip you. Boy, if you don't quit, I'm going to whip you. Amen. He said, bam! I'm going to whip you if you don't quit. That's right. Y'all, hey, let me tell you something. You young children, right? You needed a mama like my mama.
Come on.
My mama was talented. She'd slap you before you ever knowed you slapped. Well, I know what human resources today, they'd be against that. Our house, we say, I'm going to call them on you, Daddy. Here's the number, and I'm going to beat the devil out of you until they get here.
Amen.
If I'm going to go to jail, it's going to be worth it. Amen.
Amen.
My mama, she was quick. She would be talking, and you'd run up and interrupt her like kids do today.
Yeah.
Amen. You'd come up and interrupt, she'd say, bam! Never even look at you. Just pat! And you'd 5 seconds with me, did she just slap me? I think my mama just slapped me. Amen. Amen. I feared my daddy. Not just in the fact that I reverenced him, but I knew, amen, he'd whip me till the smoke alarm went off. Amen. I knew, amen, that that he would meet me 7 ways from sun, and I feared him. If I crossed him, or if I died. Hey, we need a godly fear tonight. God is still on the throne, and God is still a God that hates sin and is angered at the wicked and angry at sin. Am I? And there wouldn't be near as much sinning going on with God's people if we feared him like we used to. If we feared him like we used to. Amen. Amen. And here Nahum says in these verses that God is going to bring judgment upon Nineveh. And then verse number 8 down through verse number 15, you'll find the same thing. Are y'all with me tonight? You'll find judgment. You'll find vengeance. You'll find God being angry at the wickedness of Nineveh. Amen. Throughout the rest of this chapter. But as I begin to read that and I begin to study that, Brother White, I found something. You say, preacher, you skipped verse 7. There's a reason for that. Now, I don't know about you. We had words growing up at my house that really, they didn't mean nothing to nobody else because we was the only ones who knowed what they meant. Amen. And sometimes we'd all try to pack in the back seat of that car. And I was the youngest, and I'd squirm and I'd say, I'm being squashed to death. And that means they were squashing me. Amen. Or if you're from the deep south, squashing. Everything's got an R in it. Hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood? Amen. And I'd say, I'm being squashed to death. And you know what I found out? In verse number 1, I'm about to preach right here. Amen. If you'd help me tonight. Verse number 1 down through verse number 6, I find condemnation. I find judgment. I find God dealing angrily with the wicked people. In verse number 8 down through verse 15, the same thing, but squashed right in the middle. Is verse number 7. Judgment on one side, judgment on the other side, but look what's in the middle. It's almost like Nahum stopped and said, oh, wait a minute. I just want to remind you of something. The Lord is good. Some of y'all ain't getting that, I can tell you. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him.
Amen.
You know why? You know the Lord. If you know the Lord, really know the Lord, he knows you.
Amen.
And there's some say they know the Lord. I know they are not acquainted with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, can I tell you something? Why is it in our day that people can live like a bunch of dogs? Amen. And they can drink and they can dope and they can run around and all of that. And all of a sudden they die and they're over there in a funeral home. All of a sudden they're religious. All of a sudden we have every reason to believe they are in heaven today. You see, the funeral homes around home, they don't call on me to just, amen, generically preach funerals. They learned a long time ago, I ain't a lying for nobody. You live like a dog, you die like a dog. Amen. I'm going to preach the truth because dying don't change you. Amen. Amen. I can tell right now we done gone from amen. Amen. Anyway. Amen. Dying don't change you tonight. Amen. You live like that, you die like that. Guess where you went? You know what I preached on Sunday at my church? I preached on what did you expect? God said that his plan, his path, was the only way to bring you to an expected end.
Come on.
Amen. And tonight, dying doesn't change a thing. Amen. Amen. Live your life. I like what Lester Ross said. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going.
Amen.
And may I just add to that, amen, you ought to do your living, amen, like you're knowing where you're going. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. I shout at funerals. I've sat it in the grocery store. I've stopped at a red light, put my car in park, got out beside of it, threw my hands up, and shouted.
Yeah, come on.
If you shouted a race, it's just about better to watch paint dry. Amen. You can rejoice and shout because 22 overgrown fat men chase a pig skin up and down a field somewhere, and it ain't even made out of a pig. And they slap each other on the behind. I have a problem with grown men slapping each other on the behind. Amen. I've said, if you get excited over that and it won't take you nowhere, it looks like if you get excited over a salvation and a forgiveness, it'll take you to heaven when you die. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm saying, right in the middle of it, he times out sort of and says, hey, I want to tell you something. God is good. The Lord is good. Amen. Let me show you this. By the way, I don't think I'm against ball games. Amen. Last year, we went to the opening game of Carolina, and I don't get involved with all that. Go Hills! But and we took 25 down there. Amen. There's just something about that Carolina blue and that smoke that rolled out of that tunnel, and them big old guys come running out there. I told my son, I said, I think I might like this, amen. That old fella took that kickoff run down right in front of us, got to the goal line and dove in like that. I mean, I jumped up. I said, yeah! I saw out of tune with that crowd. I said, amen. I didn't know you weren't supposed to amen in a football game. I said, amen! My church people, they got to jumping up. I said, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I said, the choir gets up in the morning and starts singing. I said, you better say amen. If you don't, I'm going to call you a stinking hypocrite. Amen. And God help you people think you ain't got emotions.
Come on.
You let the barn burn down on Little House. You know it's going to be built right back by the next episode. Amen. You let Leslie get run over. That's about the dumbest thing I ever seen anyway. Swerve and kill your family over an animal. I used to have a bumper sticker that said, I like animals. They taste good. Amen. I like that. Amen. I believe God gave us dominion over it. Amen. Somebody told me, said, ain't them deer pretty? I said, yeah, they're beautiful in the crosshairs. Amen. That ought to help out you owl kissers. Amen. You tree huggers. Amen. That's right. Amen. He said, the Lord, he said, right in the middle of all the judgment. Hey, can I tell you something? There's going to be a judgment day that's going to come. But can I tell you, I'm glad for the church of the living God. Amen. We're not going to be around through that tribulation period or in that tribulation period. I'm glad I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now I want to show you three things right here, and I'll be through. Number one, notice what he said. He said, the Lord is good. Now, if I have to amen myself, we'll be here to be about it. Yeah. It's about time you're saying amen. Amen. He said, the Lord is good. What a truth. What a truth. If anybody ever wrote a song, if anybody ever gave a testimony, if anybody ever preached a sermon and stood up and said, the Lord is good, I want to tell you, that's a truth right there, buddy. I tell you, that's a truth like I've never seen a truth in all of my life. The Lord is good. Can I tell you tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, the only reason you ain't screaming tonight in the charred walls of hell tonight is simply because there's a loving God in heaven. That's had mercy on you and has grace upon you tonight. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not, and you're saved by the grace of God and you're on your way to heaven, it's because of a loving God and a merciful God tonight. I ought to be in hell tonight 7 ways from Sunday with my back broke, but he came by my way as a teenage boy, convicted my heart, and birthed me into his family. Amen. I'm saying the Lord is good tonight. What a truth that is. You can't deny it tonight. Amen. To the just and the unjust tonight, you can't deny the fact that the Lord is good. Amen. I'm telling you now, if you mealy-mouth on God, poot your lips out like Jesse on election day, somebody will pop you right in the mouth. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can't deny the fact that God is good tonight. Hey, listen, you shouldn't doubt it. You shouldn't walk around with your chin dragging the ground tonight. You shouldn't mope around like, amen, like God had died or something, amen. You shouldn't doubt the fact that whatever comes your way, God is still God, and God is still good tonight. I'll tell you why H.C. Spafford could write such a song as that. Because his heart was in tune with God.
Amen.
And he was saying, all is well.
Yes.
And it is well. Amen. The Lord, Job put it like this. Amen. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be of the name of the Lord. If all I had tonight He took away, I'd still have to stand and say that the Lord is good tonight. Why? Because it's a truth tonight. The Lord is good. I'm telling you, I've walked, amen, some dark roads. I've walked some rough times. I believe this has probably been one of the hardest years of my family that we have ever seen. Our hearts have been shattered. Our lives have been upheaved more than one time in this short year. But I have to stand and say tonight, and if He never blessed me again, tonight the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Hey, He's good when all the bills are paid, but He's good. My friend, when it seems like there's not enough money to go around, He's good when everybody's well. But I'm glad to say, when those we love are sick and dying, God is still good. You cannot deny it, and you should never doubt it. Amen. That's exactly right tonight. Amen. What a truth tonight. The Lord, He is good. I'll tell you, songs can lift your heart. Y'all remember way back yonder years ago when the McCameys came out with that first live version of the God on the Mountain? I can tell you where I was at when it was first aired. Amen. Brother Guy used to be my deacon, and we had seen some rough times, some hard times, some things that broke our hearts. And I'd been over there praying at the church one day, and I got in the car and I started down Randleman Road, and I got up there about Vandalia Street, and old Peg McCamey, I could see her kicking her shoes off. She said, "Bless the Lord, amen and amen." And they started back through that song again. Before I knew it, I threw that Chevrolet up in park. I jumped out. I jumped up and down and said, "God, you're better to me than I." The guy beside me run the red light. He just drove right through. I mean, hey, yeah, amen. I don't believe it all the matter. Amen. If God says, say amen, say amen. I've said it in the grocery store.
Yeah.
I messed up at a funeral down there in Medbin. I didn't know the person. I knew the people connected to the person. So I thought the nice thing to do is go to the funeral. And I sit back there, and they're dead. Funerals are just dead most of the time. And I sat in the very back, and they said, "We're going to have one more song." This was this dearly departed favorite song. I thought, oh, well, this ought to be real good, because ain't nothing been good yet. This fella got up, and he wasn't the best of singers. But you could tell deep down in his heart that he knew the Lord. And they began to play that music. He started to sing Beulah Land. I'm telling you, he got on that second verse and said, "I'm looking now across the river where my faith shall end inside." I did the ultimate no, no, amen, in a no, no place. I said, "Amen." That whole crowd went, "Whoa. Who is this greenhorn idiot that has come in and messed up this funeral by saying amen. I didn't say it to be seen. I said it because if I hadn't, it's like that little valve, amen, a pressure release. If I had exploded all over that place and that, amen, they'd have never got over that one, amen. Oh yes, I'm saying the Lord is good. We shouldn't doubt it. I tell you something else, you can be delivered by it. You know what the Bible said in the book of Romans? The Bible said the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Yes. If you're here and preaching on hell doesn't get you right, preaching on this don't get you right, preaching on that, hey man, just think about how good God is to you. Amen. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm lost. You tell me God's good? Yeah, you ought to be in hell. And you could be in hell.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. We had a lady come to our church one time and she was lost. I mean, she'd sit back there and grin, chew gum, and just grin. I'd preach on hell. I'd preach on how awful hell was. I'd have people, I'd have saved people trembling. And she'd sit back there. After church, she'd shake my hand. Preach, that was good. I went to her house. I visited. I visited her and her husband. I said, Miss Mary, you sat there and you act like nothing. She said, preacher, she said, when I was 16 years old, I walked out on God. She said, God spoke to my heart when I was a 16-year-old girl. Said, I walked out of that church. Said, I didn't want it. And she said, preacher, I made up my mind. If God never speaks to me again, I'll have to go to hell. I ain't going forward to please nobody. I ain't going forward just because it's right to go forward. It'll be because God deals with my heart. I'll tell you, Melissa and my oldest girl was about that high. They ain't much higher than that now, but that's about that high. And we were singing on a Sunday night. We were singing, I want us to be together in heaven. I tell you, God, the Holy Ghost moved in that place. I looked up the aisle. Here come Mary down the aisle. She was ripped all to pieces. She was squalling. She was a crying. And she fell on the altar. And she got born again. And she got up. I said, Miss Mary, what made the difference? She said, preacher, God took those little girls and let those words break my heart, letting me know just how good to me he's been. I could have went to hell a long time ago. I'm telling you, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance tonight. God, amen, the Lord is good. What a truth tonight. Look at what else he said. I got to hurry. Look what else he said. He said, a stronghold in the day of trouble. What a treasure. Amen. What a treasure tonight. Amen. Our dear brother Tom went back today, but he was telling me some of those treasures, them Civil War things, yeah, and treasures that he has discovered to be worth more than he bargained for. Amen. Have you ever, you know, seen people just everything they touch turns to gold? Everything I touch just turns. Amen. it ain't no gold involved. Amen. Amen. I was in Georgia one time, stayed in a man's home. He had a 6,500 square feet home. That's a pretty good little spread, don't you think? And we were staying in the basement part. It was 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It was bigger than my house. And we were staying down there, and about the middle of the week, he got me upstairs. He said, he was a member of that church over there. I was preaching. He said, I want to show you something. And he went back there, and he had a safe as big as that speaker right there. And that safe was down in the floor, and he used the combination, opened it up. I'm telling you, he pulled out a block of solid gold about that long and about that wide and about that thick. He said, that's pure gold right there. He said, I owned 5 jewelry stores, and I sold the chain. And he said, I, in the bargain, I got a lot of the gold, and I just had a melt. He said, I got a bunch of blocks like that. I felt, what a revival we gonna have this week. I can see it now. I'm gonna have to have Wells Fargo follow me to the house after this week. I could have put it all when it was done in the back seat of a Pinto. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'm talking about treasures. Amen. And we put stock in all of it. I got news for you. My hope is not in the White House. God help us. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, my hope is not on Wall Street. Amen. My hope is not in anything man-made or government tonight, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'll wholly lean on Jesus' name. Why? Because He's a stronghold in the day of trouble tonight. Amen. Consider the truth about trouble tonight. Anybody here never have any trouble? I tell you, you're probably lying. Amen. That's your biggest trouble. Amen. Job says, man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Amen. Have you ever met people as chronic complainers? They get on my last nerve. Like that fellow decided he's going to be a monk, and he goes up and they said, now you're going to go in for 3 years. You can't say nothing. He went in for 3 years. He couldn't say nothing. They brought him out after 3 years, said, now you get to say two words. He said, food bad. He went back in for 3 more years. And after 3 more years of saying nothing, they brought him back out. He said, you get to say two words. He said, bed hard. And he went back in for 3 more years, and 3 more years of silence. He came back out. They said, you can say two words. He said, I quit. That head monk said, you might as well. You ain't done nothing but complain since you've been here. Amen. We ought not have nothing to complain about as the children of God. I'm telling you, we have a stronghold in the day of trouble tonight. And that stronghold is a treasure and is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about the terribleness of trouble. You know, it's trouble's terrible. It's bad when I look at you. I could stop right there, but I'm not going to. I just want to know how come y'all singing that song every time you said dodo, you looked at him. Some of y'all didn't get that. Amen. Which I got it the first time they did it. And after talking with him a while, I know why he does it. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about when I can look at you and see your trouble. That's bad. That's bad. Amen. It's terrible that you have to go through your trouble. But then when I look at all of y'all and say all of y'all's trouble, that's bad. And it's terrible tonight that you go through your trouble. But you know what the terribleness about trouble is? When I call it my trouble.
Come on.
When your trouble and their trouble becomes my trouble. We like to quote that famous verse, all things work together for the good of them who love God. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when them all things become your things?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I'm talking about the terribleness of trouble tonight. Amen. Nobody knows the trouble I see.
Yeah. Amen.
We like to sing that a lot of times. And I tell you tonight, I've got a stronghold and a treasure. The songwriter said, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. It's buried deep in the heart of my soul. And it's so secure, no power could ever mine it away. While the years of eternity shall roll. I'm saying to you tonight, amen, what a treasure we have tonight. I think about the trust associated with trouble. Where do you flee? Where do you go to in a time of trouble? Those that won't go to church, where you go to?
Yeah.
You know what I tell them around our house all the time? I say, there's going to come a day you're going to need this church. You're going to need this preacher.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about your pastor, you run him down like a dog. Amen. God ought to let a dog bite your leg, bless you.
Amen.
Ought to run your preacher down, run the church down. The first sight of trouble comes and your kids wind up in jail and your kids wind up locked up, and you go down there to that man of God. You know why they didn't think no more of the man of God? They did, because you didn't. Amen.
Amen.
This preacher didn't tell me to say it. You ought to honor your pastor. You ought to love the man of God. You ought to lift up the man of God. Amen. I tell you what, even when you don't agree with him, you ought to still love him. You ought to still support him. You think all the 3 million of Israel always agreed with Moses? No way. Amen. Oh yeah, but those that made it to the promised land was glad they followed.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm saying tonight, a stronghold in the day of trouble, what a treasure tonight. Not only did he say the Lord is good, what a truth. A stronghold in the day of trouble, what a treasure. But lastly tonight, look at this. He said, he knoweth them that trust in him. Amen. I said this the other day at church. I believe it might have been Sunday. I was talking about the three Hebrew boys that was thrown in the fire. I don't recollect out of 35 years of studying the Bible, Brother Johnson, I don't recollect ever hearing that those young men saw the fourth man. Doesn't say. They said this, heated up, put us in it. Our Lord would deliver us out of our hand. He said, howbeit, if not, be it known unto you this day, we will not bow.
Right.
It never says they saw the fourth man. Somebody did.
Amen.
You say, who, preacher? The king. He's the one that needed to see him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, go through trouble. It seems like hell on earth in your family and in your life, and you get on an altar and you say, God, I can't see you moving. God, I can't see your hand at work. And amen, all along those that are around you, amen, that need to see God at work, they're seeing the hand of God work. They're seeing the hand of God move. Amen, amen. I'm saying tonight, amen, what a testimony.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you this, you are what you are tonight. I'm not running for no political office. I don't worry about popularity. I know all y'all didn't come hear me. Amen. My own daughters didn't come to hear me. They, until the other day, they didn't even know I was going to be here. They come to me and asked their daddy, said Mercy's Well singing down there in Ramshore next week. You reckon we could go? I said, I guess it's all right. They asked somebody, text them, y'all know who's preaching down there where Mercy's Well? No. No, don't know. She come in Saturday, she said, how come you didn't tell me you the one supposed to be preaching down there? I said, because if I did, you wouldn't come. Amen. Amen. I'm saying tonight, are you listening tonight? Amen. What we preach nowadays is not popular. Amen. I tell people, come to Friendship, we'll treat you so many ways, you've got to like one of them. Amen. But I just tell it straight, you are what you are tonight. Amen. You can purdy up a pig. You can shine a pig up. You can blow dry its little bristles. But I'm telling you, all you got is a purdy pig, but it's still a pig.
Amen.
Amen. Call it like you see it.
Amen. Come on.
We might not be in the mess we in government-wise if we'd have called it like we saw it.
Amen.
I thought I'd just slip that one in. Amen. You know, the Bible says this, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm going to close with this, and I don't mean to be comical tonight or funny. It struck me kind of funny when I read it. But hear me out. A bee bees because he's a bee. A flea flees because he's a flea. And a fly flies because he's a fly. A fly won't never be a flea. And a flea won't never be a bee. My question to you tonight is, what you be? Are you tonight who and what you say you are? Amen. It's easy to hide it and dress it up and hide it. But what you really are is when ain't nobody else around. In the secrecy of your heart. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, is what you do a real testimony? Is it a real? You know what? When I die, my kids will, I hope they show up for the funeral. Depends on who's singing that night. But I'm laid out. I told my family, don't put me in a funeral home. I didn't like them while I was alive, and I don't like them. I won't like them when I'm dead. Just stick me over in the church house. Let me spend my last night over there. And just leave me there. I ain't going to hurt nobody. My family will be standing there in my casket. Y'all, one or two of y'all will be coming by, shaking their hands and wishing them well and saying we miss him, we're praying for him. And I want my children to be able to say, you know, my daddy, we didn't live in the biggest house. We didn't live in the fanciest ways. But I do remember this. He gave us the truth. He gave us Jesus.
Amen.
He gave us Christ. He gave us, amen, something worth living for.
Amen.
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 What a blessing. What a testimony tonight. Amen. Do you have that testimony tonight?